From Paradise to Pawpaw to Perry, this is the Michigan Talk Network.
I talk about the problem with young men in America on this program a lot. A lot of it comes down to homes without fathers, but what about men without jobs? Something else we need to talk about in America, because men without jobs, that number has spiked in my lifetime. According to some research, the proportion of economically inactive American men of prime working age was 3.4% in 1965. It's 11.5% today. And that means 5 million prime work-age men have vanished from the workforce. Well, where do they go to get supported? Well, they go to their friends, their family, government. Might explain the opioid crisis to some extent. Emily Cow is here, director of the Richard and Helen DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation. Emily, welcome to the conversation.
Thanks, Steve.
So what is this crisis of, what, do these people just not want to work anymore, don't think they have to, don't try? What's going on?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that are going into the issue of men not of working age who are not working. I think J.D. Vance had a great book around the time of the election that really looked at the problem very holistically, which is not just a breakdown of, certainly not a breakdown of economic opportunities, but really a breakdown in our culture, a breakdown in our families, and a breakdown on the individual level that people just, men just don't seem to be able to have the strength to do what it takes to, keep themselves in the workforce.
What do you mean, and do you mean strength? You mean emotional strength, spiritual strength, physical strength? There's a lot of obesity, too. I don't think that helps us too much. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, I look more at the spiritual strength and the emotional strength. I think that the two are related. There's an article I wrote for The Federalist about the spiritual component of the crisis that we are facing. If you look at the suicide rate, the unemployment, the opioid crisis, it is disproportionately men who are really, engaging in self-destructive behaviors. And I think that there is a spiritual crisis in our country, and that we need to look at that as well as looking at the other factors.
All right, so what are these other factors? Because you look at a country now where you had, 60,000 overdose deaths from opioids in 2017, maybe more, but 60,000 is a pretty good estimate. You've got millions of men that are not working. They're living in mom's basement or whatever, right? Well, and here's the other problem, Emily. You know, we keep pushing off adulthood farther and farther, so you've got people in their mid-20s, men in their mid-20s still being in mama's basement, still under mama's wing. That's kind of a problem, isn't it?
Well, the issue that I looked at in the most recent article about fatherlessness among the school shooters, I think that has something to do with it. I think, a growing number of American males are growing up without a father. Now it's about 25% in the white non-Hispanic population, about 66% of households in the African-American population. Kids are growing up without a father. So many kids don't have a role model, a healthy masculine role model, and that doesn't give them the best footing in life to start with to, do all the things that a man does, working, getting married, having a family, staying with that family, raising that family.
Yeah, the boy crisis. We've talked about it quite extensively here on the program over the last couple of years. There is a problem with, what America needs is more fathers. And you're right, you look at the school shooters. The vast majority of the school shooters come from homes that have no active father, no participant, no role model. The whole idea of, wait till your father gets home doesn't exist for a whole generation of kids. And in fact, the government in this country has incentivized keeping fathers out of the home. When you talk about welfare programs and so forth, the single moms get more money if dad isn't there. So they incentivize not having it there. And I think that the crisis extends throughout society now. I think you've nailed it.
Right, so that is built into the welfare system, the marriage penalties that you mentioned. But also, I think there's just a devaluation of marriage. The old, path to family success was get married first, then have children, then stay with those children and raise those children. And now we seem to have abandoned that model, and we seem to think that marriage is optional, and some people increasingly think fatherhood is optional. And that all leads to poor outcomes for children.
That very much does. It very much does. You know, and here's the thing. When you hear people attack those that suggest we would be better off and well-served if we return to a nuclear family model in this country and elsewhere, well, you're a bigot, you're this, you're that, and they try to slap labels on you. I'm not a bigot. I'm a guy who can look at the statistics and say, look at the trouble we're in. Since 1965 and the plummeting of fathers in the home and the escalation of people not working and violence, different troubles in different sectors that can be directly attributed to the lack of having a father around. I think that we need to explore this deeper, Emily.
I completely agree. And I think there are, you know, some solutions that can come from Washington, like working on the welfare reform. But I think that, you know, it is a national crisis and it's a very deep one. And so there needs to be some self-examination at the local level, the community level. I think a lot of the best solutions will come from, you know, discussions in churches, discussions in families and communities. And there needs to be the Washington, D.C. solutions, but there also needs to be more discussion, I think, at the grassroots.
Emily, you're much more of an optimist than I am, because I will tell you this. I think the only solution that comes from Washington is when Washington leaves us alone, for the most part, especially in this topic. I mean, look what they've done. All the meddling has led us nowhere. Emily, thank you so much for the conversation. Thank you for stopping in.
Thank you.
There you have it. Emily Gao is director of the Richard and Helen DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation in D.C. Listen, if you've got a problem with government, if you've got trouble there, say with the Internal Revenue Service or the Michigan Department of Treasury, and if you've got one, you've probably got the other, you need to talk to my good friend Chris McClatcher. He's a Michigan guy. He gets it. He knows if you're dealing with the IRS, you're dealing with Michigan as well. He's been there before. And if you're up against that, you need a professional. You do. Don't go that alone. Now, if there's a chance you're going to have trouble getting your taxes paid or there's penalties, there's interest, don't lay awake at night wondering what to do. Get on your computer, put in your area code here in Michigan, and then tax.com. 989-TAX.com, 906-TAX.com, 231-TAX.com. It'll take you to Fresh Start Tax Solutions. Fresh Start Tax Solutions. And my good friend Chris McClatcher, tell him Steve sent you. You need a professional. Trust me on this. I'll be right back.